You're now tuned in to Life Song Radio, a weekly podcast dedicated to accurately studying the Word of God in a comprehensive and biblical manner. Listen in as hosts Phil Ramsey and Blake Shankle dig into the Word line by line, verse by verse, leaving no stone unturned. Grab your Bible and your notebook and get prepared to study the living, breathing, active Word of God. Now, here are your hosts of Life Song Radio.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Life Song Radio. My name is Blake Shankle, and as always, my fearless leader, my partner.
I like that.
Thank you.
Keep going.
Thank you. Anything else? Phil Ramsey.
All right. How you doing?
I'm good. You?
Good. Good to be here. Got here. It's 127 degrees in the room. So if you see sweat break out on us, we're not nervous about the scripture.
No.
Somebody forgot to turn the air on. We're in a big metal building. It takes 7.5 hours to cool off. So if we're sweating, you know what the deal
is. The air has not been on since last time we recorded.
Yeah, so it's hot up in here.
Yes.
It's about 80-something degrees. So.
It is. But we promise you, for this show, we're going to keep our shirts on.
Yes, praise the Lord for that.
But immediately following this, we are stripping.
We only got a few listeners now. If we'd take our shirts off, we'd lose everybody.
Out of the tens and tens of people that listen to us, we would have zero after that.
That many, actually?
Maybe not. Maybe 10, okay? No, we are good to be back here in our scripture this week, man. As we are walking through Romans chapter 13, we're in verses 8 through 10. We got through verse 8 last week.
Yeah, I thought, you know, with just a couple of verses, I'm you know, we thought we'd get through it, and then I tell you, time goes so quick.
Yeah,
you know, when you're talking, and of course we got a little clock here we look at, and we're just about ready to get to the meat of it, and we got 2 minutes left, so we're going to look back a little bit about and review just a little bit about what we talked about last week, and definitely get through 10. And then next week, I actually thought we were going to try to get in that today, but I'm really excited about next week's program.
Absolutely. So it's going to be good. Yeah, this whole chapter's been really good. So well, let's just start here in verse 8, Phil, and we're going to read it. Pick up chapter 13, verse 8. I mean, out of the NASB Bible. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. If there's any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 10, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. We talked last week about this word love, right?
Yeah.
And it's just kind of the key theme here. You know, we see this 5 times within it. Paul's drawing attention to that word.
Yeah. It's a, like we said last week, it's a debt that we owe that we'll never, ever pay off fully. As long as we're on planet Earth, as long as we're living, we're going to owe a debt of love to everyone. So it's a continuous act that never stops. And I tell you, I love the fruit of the Spirit being the first one, being love. So, you know, it's a very important characteristic that we must have. And I think we may get into it that love and law go together.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if in your studies, I don't know if you've got, but you're not going to have love without the law. And as we go through the scripture, we'll lay that out.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah. So Paul says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. He gives the reason. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. That's the reason. The law has called us to love one another.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we see this early on. It was the Shema that the Jews would quote. That's why Jesus used it so many times. What does the word say? And they would quote it.
Yeah.
Love God.
They knew the word.
And to love your neighbor. Now, they jacked that up, right? They picked and choose who their neighbors were, and in return, were not loving God.
Right.
So they weren't fulfilling it at all, you know? And in fact, none of us can fulfill it perfectly at all. Christ is the only one that has fulfilled this. But us being in Christ, God sees us as fulfilling that and granted eternal life. But yet now that we are in Christ, we can now try to fulfill that, right? And that's what we're to do. But here he says in verse 9, now what Paul does is great. What he does is he pulls back into really the only scripture that's here at this time, if you will, but it's the Old Testament, right? He pulls back. He was, many scholars will say that Paul was probably one of the most learned people in the Old Testament at that time. He, in fact, it could be said that he probably had it memorized. He was a scholarly student, very sharp. So he pulls back to the Old Testament to show that, look, this is not something new in which he brings to the table. He says, listen up, you know this. This goes back to ultimately the Ten Commandments. In verse 9, he says this, for this you shall not commit adultery. And in my Bible, I have it all in my MacArthur Study Bible. These are capitalized. And so what that tells me is that tells me that's a quote from the Old Testament. So I know that's what that is. Mm-hmm. It's just easy, just a good Bible study tool. But he says, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. Paul is clearly, those are the commandments that we see, right?
Yeah. It's, you know, we said it last time. You know, you got God's law, and the moral law is something that that comes over from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Basically, beginning with the Ten Commandments, we had, like we talked about, the ceremonial law that Israel had to do. Guess what? Fulfilled.
Yep.
The ceremonial law is fulfilled. You had the civil law. Now, we look back at the civil law, and we can pull principles from the civil law, and we actually apply that today. But Christ fulfilled the ceremonial laws. We're not Israel. We're not under the civic law that Israel was under, which was specific to them. But we are under the moral law of God. And if you would ask a Jew back in the day, have you committed adultery? Most of them would say, no, I have not. Have you murdered anybody? No, I have not. I have kept the law. Well, Jesus exposes all of that. And on the Sermon on the Mount, I'll just read a couple verses. Matthew 5:21, it says, you have heard. Now, let me just say this before we begin. It's kind of hard to love your neighbor while you're killing them.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, so you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. Hey, one of the Ten Commandments, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be liable for judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and so on. So he takes it to a whole... I'm not going to say another level, but it exposes the law of God for what it really is. It's just not outer things that you don't do. It goes to the heart. So being angry with a brother or looking at a girl, though you did not commit adultery, if you looked at her in a way, it's just as same as adultery. So it's hard to love people while you're lying against them, while you're angry with them, that's murder. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
So the Lord exposes all of that on the Sermon on the Mount.
He sure does. Chapter 5. And by exposing the heart of those wicked Pharisees.
Yeah, we're all messed up. Hey, I can live my life and not kill anybody. I come real close. but, in my heart,
inwardly,
it's probably every day I am breaking God's law.
Yeah.
But at the same time, because of the Holy Spirit in me, I'm able to fulfill the law with the Spirit of God in me.
Sure.
Saved, whatever.
Sure.
Anyway.
Well, so we see here, like you said, Paul is suggesting, he brings four of the commandments, the seventh, the sixth, the eighth, and the tenth. Mm-hmm. He leaves out the fifth and the ninth and the second half of the Ten Commandments, right? But and it's not really apparent why he chooses these. Maybe it's just because he's picking and choosing on that. We just don't know why. But he leaves the caveat in there, possibly, and if there be any other commandment, right? Maybe just being brevity, but that would capture everything else.
That's everything
else.
Here's a few, but here's all of them.
If any other commandment, yeah. Right? So, interesting, they're kind of out of sequence from the Hebrew text that the Old Testament scripture would have been in, but in the Septuagint, which is the Greek, right, Old Testament, they are in the order of the listing as listed in Deuteronomy 5. Verse 17 through 21. So Paul here is referring, at least in his own thinking, to a text that is in the Septuagint, and that is a Greek translation of the Old Testament. He simply lists four of the commandments and says, if you know this, you've got the whole law. If you know these things, the law is summed up in this statement, you will love your neighbor as yourself. And so the whole law is collected into that one statement.
Mm-hmm.
And so the key to obeying the law is love. If we love, we're going to obey the law. To commit adultery is not to love, right? I mean, if you commit adultery against your wife, you're not loving.
Right.
If you, like you said, if you commit murder, even within your heart, Jesus exposed that, you're not loving. So it goes without saying that when you do these things, if you're coveting someone else's stuff, you're not loving, right? If you're stealing someone else's stuff, you're not loving. Mm-hmm. And I liked what James says in chapter 2. He talks about the royal law. James, all of these commandments are fulfilled in the one new royal law that James says here in verse 8 of chapter 2. If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law or the sovereign law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. Is it what James says? You're doing well if you're loving your neighbor as yourself. This royal law now that we're in this New Testament ultimately is this is the new royal law. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and you're convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. Yeah. That should ring loud and clear, right? And he says, for he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. James says that this is the royal law.
Yeah.
That we see.
Yeah. And you can look at Corinthians. I was reading Corinthians today, 14. It says, pursue love. And I like that because
that's good.
It's present tense, yep. Which means you pursue it, but it's something that you will always be in pursuit of.
Right.
Never fully obtaining perfection, but on a constant basis, every day, all day, everybody who crosses your path, pursue love.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, love is not to replace the law. It's not that the old is gone and that the new is arriving. It's not that, right? What we're saying is love is what Paul says. It's the fulfilling of the law, right? Love is to give us a bottom line so that we understand how God's whole law can be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Remember, the one that got Paul was...
The one against you and me and everybody else.
It was covetousness.
Yeah.
As Paul was concerned, he was blameless before God, right? He was, check mark, boom.
Verse 1. Didn't kill nobody, didn't commit adultery.
Good. Man, I have him above all. You know, there's no idols, man.
Covet.
Wow. Got him.
Yep.
Got him to the core when he was reading it, right? He got to the 10th commandment. This is the one that broke him. It haunted him. It convicted him. He could control the external behavior, but he couldn't control his heart as a lost person. And so it says, you shall not covet. And coveting is lusting over the world. It's greed. And that's where he was at. It was all about himself. It's wanting something of someone else's that's not yours. And this is where Paul found himself. And so what Paul's talking about here is that God is not after an outward obedience necessarily. That comes about from an inward cleansing from the Holy Spirit, but because that's what the Pharisees did, right? The Pharisees were all about outwardness, but yet their heart was jacked up inside. Mm. And Jesus exposed that because the heart is what controls the actions. The outward action is a manifestation of the heart. That's why Solomon writes, watch over the heart, for from it flows the issues of life, right? It's the fountain in which your entire life is following. And so it's not about being externally good, but it's about having your heart changed in which now you want to do those things. You want to be obedient. And ultimately what drives us is this love for God, right? And it drives us to loving our neighbor as well. And so these external actions are really to be an external. These are the external obedience of a heart of a changed heart that now loves God and loves neighbor.
So would you say as you love God, then because of this love and you've been saved by His grace, then this love is expressed in love for Him first, but then love for others.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's how, because that's how, think about the Ten Commandments. Think about how they flow, right? What does he say? I mean, our first love has to be loyal to God. What does he say? There shall be no other gods before me, right? It's to be faithful to him. Hey, don't have carved images of me, right? No bowing before other gods, etc. That's being faithful. And then it's keeping its promise, right? It's to be devoted to the object and to obey who you love, and that's God, right? And so then he says, then ultimately you think about it going through. Thirdly, love is to be reverent. What does he say? Don't take the Lord's name in vain. If you love God, you're not going to curse him, for he's holy. Love is to be pure, undefiled, uncompromising devotion and worship. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, right? And then now, because love sets itself apart for devotion and worship of the object in which we love. And so if you say you love God, guess what? You're going to worship God. If you say love God, you're going to serve God, and you're going to keep his commandments. If you say you love God, you're going to be faithful to all his word. You're going to be reverent to his name. You're going to be loyal to him as your only God. That's why the first half we see the law is love God, right? Those first four commandments are focused upon him. And then in doing that, guess what? We're going to love our neighbor because we love him who created us.
Don't you say how the world switches that around? Think
very
about
much
that.
So. It's a good point.
As I'm talking, and there's some denominations that churches, quote unquote, churches that really focus on this, meaning if you do good works, if you help the needy, if you give here and help the orphan and the widow, then you're right with God. That's not how it works. That's a works-based religion. That's a false religion. So if your relationship with God is intact and you're loving him because you do have a new heart, that plays out in how do you know that you're saved? Because how do I know as I look out who's saved? And of course, God ultimately knows the heart, but they'll know you by your love for one another.
Right.
So this love is the number one characteristic that a believer will have. If you're not loving, right? If you're not loving people, and we said it last few weeks, loving does not mean avoiding circumstances. If Blake's living in sin, I'm to go to him, point that out. Some would say you're judging and that's not loving. No, it's not loving when you don't do that. So this love doesn't mean not to deal with sin in your life, but it's the number one thing that people will see in you. Because you love God, you will love people. If you don't love people, you don't love God.
Good point. I think that's
and John 13 talks about that.
Yeah.
John 14 talks about that. Let me see if I got that. John 13, I think it's verse 3, could be 4. It says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So this new commandment is displayed in a new way. We are to love as Christ loved.
That's it.
Takes it to it's not a new love. We're always to love, but God now, we can see this love because God became flesh, and now we see it modeled in front of us.
That's it.
This God takes flesh, and now how do we love? Exactly the way he loved.
That's it.
And now we have a walking, talking model of what perfect love looks like. So that's what we're to do.
Yep.
And people will know us because of that.
That's it. That's it. Christ.
I have to check myself on that because I'm not the most loving. You know, I'm just bent crazy like that.
Well,
I do struggle. I know that, but I'm being sanctified in that area.
Yeah, by you being convicted of that is showing a changed heart. And I'm convicted about it as well. Yeah. I told you something earlier today that I'm convicted about that was just being prideful, right? I'm convicted about it. It's not loving. It's not loving of what I'm doing. I need to recognize that. It's not how Christ would act. That's not what Christ would do. Right. So that's where we're at. So in summary, like love God, that's what he says, love God, love men. That's That's what you do. It's not loving men and loving God, right? You have to love God first in order that you're going to love men, mm-hmm. right? And that is the fulfillment of the law. That's the fullness and the law fulfilled, right? And Christ did it perfectly, right? Yeah. On that hangs all the law and the prophets. Matthew chapter 5, 43, let's hear it from the master himself. You have heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Man, he just flipped it, right? Mm-hmm. This is what you're to do so that you may prove yourselves to be, and you said it earlier, sons of your Father who is in heaven, mm-hmm. right? For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous, right? There's this general love, if you will. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Right? For that's easy, right? Even the tax collectors do the same, right? The worst of the worst. And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than that? That's what the Pharisees were doing, right? That's what we see in the Good Samaritan. Mm-hmm. Even the Gentiles do that. Yeah. Therefore, you shall be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect, meaning you need to love even your enemies. Constant love in order to be perfect. If you don't love your enemies, this is tough. It calls into question whether you've been born again or not. It's something to examine our lives.
You got to.
Right?
It's rough.
So the debt of love is an unpayable debt. We talked about that last week. You'll pay it all your life and you'll never repay it, correct? And your debt is to keep on loving and to keep on loving, right? And the discharge of that is simply towards your neighbor. That's what we discharge this love toward our neighbor. That's if anybody who comes across your path, we ought to love them, whoever that may be. And that love means that you will fulfill the law. You'll never do that to that neighbor, anything harmful. If you love them.
Well, that's what we said earlier. Law and love, they connect together.
Yeah.
In my encounters that I have every week with folks, one of the things I ask them, do they love God? And 9 out of 10 would say yes. And sometimes I quote this verse, John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Yeah.
Are you keeping his commandments? And half the time, they don't even know what that means or what that is.
Right.
So if you say you love the Lord, you will keep his commandments.
Yep.
If you go down to verse 21 and 14, it says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves me.
Hmm.
Can I read that
again? Yeah, do it.
Think about this, listener.
It's a good verse.
Here's the deal. Whoever has my commandments. How do we know? Whoever has my commandments and keeps him. Guess what? That's the person that loves me. The ones that keeps my commandments.
Yeah.
And so now we're not talking about perfection.
No.
One person can do that. But if you're not walking in obedience, look here. You have no assurance of your salvation. Because that is one of the, if you're living in sin and not obeying the Lord, you have no assurance that you've been saved. You have none. But because you do love and because you do obey, not perfectly, but you delight in his law, you're convicted of sin, you want to obey, that's the direction of your life, you can know that you have the Spirit in you.
Absolutely.
But apart from that, if you're not obeying the Lord and the law and God's love are together, it's time to examine our lives.
That's it. Absolutely. Absolutely. So what Paul goes on to say in verse 10, he puts it in the negative, right? He says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Literally this is what translated, love does not keep on working evil, if you will. Love ultimately doesn't wrong someone. I mean, that's in essence what he's talking about. It doesn't wrong someone. It's not to wrong your neighbor or your enemy, right? We've already said that God... He says back in 12, right? Vengeance is mine. And so it doesn't dishonor someone. It doesn't slander them. It doesn't gossip. It doesn't take. It doesn't steal. It doesn't covet something someone else has. It doesn't abuse someone. It doesn't disrespect someone. It's unrestricted on who we're to love, but it's restricted on how we're to love. Mm-hmm. Let me say it again. It's unrestricted on who we are to love, but it's restricted on how we're to love.
Yeah.
Love doesn't do any harm to anyone. And we have to constantly think about that. We have to keep that. This is something I'm preaching to myself here. When you rebuke someone in their sin, that's not harming someone, like you said. That's loving them.
Mm-hmm.
When we discipline someone as church discipline, that's not because we don't love them. It's because we do love them, right?
Yeah.
When I see you walking in heresy or in a false gospel, or if I see you walking and straying from God's word, and I exhort you or rebuke you, it's not because I want to do it. I need to shake my heart if that's the case. It's because I'm called to do it as pastors. We're not pastors, but pastors are called to shepherd the flock. Guess what? Sometimes that takes a little bruise in there. Sometimes that takes getting that sheep back in there. That is lovingly what we're to do, right? Mm. He says it doesn't do any harm to a neighbor. Love works in so many different dimensions. And so Paul brings it finally to a summation, right? He brings it to a bottom line of what he's been talking about. Verse 10, he says, therefore, right? We love that therefore, right? And let's finish it up here. Love is the fulfillment of the law. In fact, the only fulfillment of the law is obedience from a heart of love. I'll say that again. The only fulfillment of the law is the obedience from a heart of love. Yeah. Anything else is external. Anything else is with a different motive, right? A love produces obedience to the law, exactly what you said earlier. A love for God and a love for neighbor produces obedience to the law.
Yeah. You just again, look at Jesus as the perfect example. If we were at a table, and we're about to eat a supper, and you were Jesus, and I was Judas. And what did Jesus do to Judas right before Satan entered him and he left?
He
fed him.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Some people twist that in a way. I've heard a lot of people use this slogan, hey, Jesus fed Judas too. Well, first of all, you don't want to be Judas. It'd been better if he'd never been born.
Yep.
But Jesus even exhibited on the cross, died for sinners while yet they were still his enemy. Nailed to a cross, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing.
Yeah.
What love is that? And so what a great example of how we are to love in the world.
Yep.
You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
well, we as Christians feel we must be concerned, you've already said it, with obedience to God's law. And to his obedience, yeah, to his commandments. They're in there, right? And one of them is to love. And so that, by us doing that, shows not, this doesn't get us salvation. This just proves our salvation. That we possess true saving faith. That's James 2:14-26. Yeah. And look, here's the thing. At the judgment, we're going to be judged according to the conformity of the law. You're going to be judged by it. Because of the conformity of the law. How well did you do, right? Those who are in Christ, they're going to be accepted into God's presence because of his perfect conformity to the law. Christ did it perfectly. He walked perfectly. He was sinless. And what God says is when you repent and you trust in Christ and his salvation and his work upon the cross and his resurrection, when you place your faith in him, it's as if Christ, God looks at you and he sees Christ. He clothes you with righteousness, right? From the bottom of your heels to the top of your head, you are clothed in righteousness. Doesn't mean you're perfect here upon this earth, but it means that you've been justified.
Holy.
It means that in a position before God, you are just as perfect as Christ is, right?
And
now
awesome?
We're called, it is beautiful, right? And now we're called to a life of sanctification. We're called to life as every step I take, I want to get closer and closer to the conformity of the image of Christ. But here's the thing, right? His righteousness is ours by faith alone, and the authenticity of our faith is displayed in what we're concerned to live in a way that will be approved by the law of liberty, verse 12 of James. This law of liberty is the royal law, right? God's law remains our guide to holy living, and we must continue to obey all its moral precepts, lest we be revealed as lacking authentic faith. But for those outside of Christ, you will be judged by the law.
Yeah, that's a good point. No more condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ, right? So we are, like you said, we're justified. Believers are justified. They're holy. This is who you are. You're just like Christ in the eyes of God, right? And now that we are holy, positionally,
yes,
go live out this, amen, life and be holy.
Yep.
And one day we'll see him, we'll be just like him. Hey, thank you for tuning in. Tell a friend about the show. You go to our website, lifesongradio.com. Is that correct?
That's it.
Okay, sometimes I'll
email us.
That.
We'd love to hear from you. Lifesongradio01@gmail.com.
See you next week, this same time, this same channel.
You've been listening to Life Song Radio. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube. And if you want to continue to study throughout the week, check out the resources available on our website at lifesongradio.com. See you next week for another episode of Life Song Radio.